Hi, this is Carla Viegas.
Hi, this is Jamie Morgan.
From Rabbit Foot.
You are listening to The Raven and the Blues.
On Talk Radio Europe.
Radio Napa.
And Kansas City Online Radio.
We gave it a shot, a full turn of the wheel. I've plenty reason now for how I feel. Ba ba da ba, ba 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 ba. Oh, what am I gonna do? Say, what am I gonna do? Ba 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 ba.
The Raven and the Blues, live in session, and it's a great number to start with because it kind of sums up the events of the year. The way I see the year panning out is I never heard of this band, Rabbit Foot, until I guess about May or June. Then I get an MP3 sent to me, Wang Dang Doodle, which you could have done to open, but you didn't. And then Hebden Bridge appears, and you go up to Hebden Bridge and steal the show. And it just seems to be that all of a sudden this last 6 months has been everywhere. Look, Rabbit Foot. Anyway, welcome, Jamie Morgan on the left-hand side of your headphones.
Hello.
And Carla Villegas on the right-hand side, seated at the drums. You've been together as a band how long altogether? I mean, as I say, it seems like 6 months, but obviously it's longer than that.
Well, I think it was my birthday, June 21st last year.
Yeah.
Actually,
that was the first Rabbit Foot gig, and we weren't Rabbit Foot at the time.
But I think we only decided to call it Rabbit Foot like a few months later. I think we look back retrospect because we were just doing it for the fun, really, for the joy of it at first.
Yeah.
I mean, were you both in bands at that stage, both musicians as such, or was it just?
Yeah.
Well, kind of. Yeah, I'm a percussionist as well,
yes.
And that had been my work for 10, 12 years.
And Carl, you're a vocal coach, aren't you, as well?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and I've been in and out of bands for a very long time now.
So you just sat there, and all of a sudden, the sound and all the things that are Rabbit Foot came together like sort of a living thing, an organic thing?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. There was no planning. I don't think we would have set it up like we did if we'd planned it.
No, yeah.
Now we can't do it any other way.
How about some guitar music with some African drums?
Yeah, right.
That's not how it...
And it's been an occasional bass and any other occasional people passing through the band?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Percussionists. Yeah. We get percussionists that come in guests sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And some great ones as well.
So, but you are normally at a core, just the two of you, basically.
Yeah, the core is the two, and we can add... It's like a jigsaw with a nice centrepiece.
Hmm.
I think.
And so in the summer, when I heard Wang Dang Doodle, was the album Swamp Boogie already recorded then, or did that come later?
Ah. No, it all came at once. We did it. We did those recordings. They were pretty much one take. We took about 4 hours of recording, and then that was done.
Right.
And I think the version that you got, I don't think we'd even finished. I was so keen to get it out everywhere. I don't think we'd even finished mixing it at that point. But I was keen.
But it does seem to be a fairly meteoric rise. Has it felt that way to you two?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always working in the office trying to make things happen. So it doesn't feel like anything's happened meteorically because of
it. Just feels like bloody hard work.
So I've spent my whole life.
There's no real snowball effect as much as just ongoing work.
Mm-hmm. Just plugging in. Because there's lots
the
of things
of work, I suppose.
Yeah, there's lots of things that haven't worked. I'm not going to tell you about them, but there's lots of things that haven't come off. You know, so we just.
You mean in terms musically or in terms of other ventures?
Other ventures really. Like getting certain gigs, we've gone for certain things and nothing's happened. And
yes.
We have an interesting time with promoters because they don't know what on earth to label us. And
you take no prisoners either, do you? Really? I mean, you're not compromising at all,
no.
Are you?
No, we hope not.
Promoters have no idea what to do with us. We've had a very good promoter who came to one of our gigs and he was like, I love what you guys do, but I would have no idea how to sell it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, thanks for that.
Yeah. First time we played a blues club, I remember my best memory is of the promoter of the blues, I won't say where it was, but the promoter of the blues club running away in fear afterwards. You know, like,
yeah, we never heard back from him either.
Because you kind of fall between the two stools of the diehard 12-bar blues, the way it always has been, and the new breed of music, which is burgeoning and coming through here in the UK, which I think is so exciting and fabulous. And you're kind of in between of that, aren't you, in a way? Because you both cover both bases, but perhaps scare both sides of it at the same time.
Well, the more mainstream side is a lot more accepting than the blues side. The more mainstream side kind of goes, hey, we don't know what it is, but we like it. It's fun. Yeah, I'll come and see you.
Yes.
Whereas the blues is a bit like,
no,
what the hell are you?
Yeah, some of it anyway. We're talking minority. You know?
Yeah.
Most people
It's a bit inside baseball, this, but Jason Elliott of Hebden Bridge Blues Festival, he started something rolling at the weekend about what should we call it and you know, should we...
Yeah.
And it got quite heated at a stage until in the end, I think somebody called quits on it because it is very difficult here in the UK. And I know many of the listeners to this show are not in the UK and perhaps not the same way that you are listening. Yeah. But here in the UK, we've got this very odd situation whereby we've got some music coming through which is kind of being labelled roughly as blues, but in fact, hasn't got a home to go to in many places, and in terms of venues and what have you. Yes.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough.
It's a small circuit.
It's small, actually.
It's a small circuit.
I hadn't been involved in the music scene for a decade or more when I came and got involved, and I was very naive, and I just thought, oh, we can play everywhere.
Yes.
But of course, well, you can't. You know,
well, yes, you can, subject to the promoter taking a calculated risk and understanding. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which thank goodness, you know, people like Jason have been willing to do on us, because he only gave us that gig on the strength of me being a pain in the bum, really.
Sending you Mandang Doodle. Yeah, it's amazing getting a gig like that at a festival on the strength of an MP3, you know. Which,
yeah, it's good, isn't it?
And being a pain in the neck, being on his case. Literally, I'll come and camp outside your door if you don't stop. If you don't answer our emails or something, wasn't it? Until he kind of went, yeah, go on then, we'll give you a slot.
Yeah, and he wasn't at all sure, bless him. You know? I mean, so we have people from the world music area,
yes,
who are interested in things as well. So we had another guy from Isle of Wight who put us on at the Rhythm Tree Festival.
Right.
So he put us on this massive stage, and we'd never played a stage like it.
Talking of music, what are you going to do for us next?
Oh, we're going to do Catfish.
Swimming along in a deep blue sea, you good looking man swimming after me, swimming after me, swimming after me. I went down to see my baby, now sat alone on this front step, coming out color, yeah. My lady's just now there, my lady's just now there, my lady's just now there. Just before I was born, got a girl child coming, gonna be a rolling stone, gonna be a rolling stone, gonna be a rolling stone. Swimming alone, ooh, on a deep blue sea, you good-looking man, now swimming after me, swimming after me, swimming after me, ooh, well, ooh, well, ooh, well. I was a catfish swimming along in a deep blue sea. A good looking man swimming after me, swimming after me, yeah, swimming after me, yeah. Oh well. Oh.
That was fabulous. Catfish by Rabbitfoot. Swamp Boogie, it's called. The album is called Swamp Boogie, which kind of sums it up kind of nicely too in terms of what you do. What made you decide when the two of you sort of got together and were thinking about the music, what made you decide to sort of take some established blues numbers, which were already pretty dirty and low down to start with, and make them even dirtier and
worse.
Even more low down and even dirtier, yes. I mean, how did that come about? Was it just an idea, or did you feel it was about...
Oh, right? Can I answer this?
Yeah, if you like.
Yeah. Well, our sound was born out of plenty of nights of jamming.
Right.
Yeah, so Jamie would play the songs that he knew. And those were, you know,
it was worth putting there. Like, it would be songs that I could remember from when I used to play, because I stopped playing for many years.
I see.
So when I got myself a guitar again,
And
I had to play stuff that I could remember, you know.
Yeah, and so he'd play that, and I would accompany on the drums because they were there. That's how these came about. Right. Jamie's had these for a long time, and he's used them, you know, for his own playing, and. And I suppose the thing with the lowdown is because Jamie just became enamoured with how I sounded when I was about to keel over and collapse with exhaustion. So we played and played and played and played for hours, and I'd be desperate to go and sleep. And he'd be like, no, just do this one. And then he set out the recording. And that's literally, it was just born out of me being so just tired. It's like... Pillow voice.
I pestered her until, you know.
Ooh, I wish.
Just came
out. You know.
So, basically, the way you record is literally he pushes you until you're almost asleep. And then he presses record and play.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be raw somehow. It's got to be, I mean, because that's the. I'll never sound like the guys that I'm really inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever really want to. But there's something about the quality of it that I want to. Get across, and there's that rawness.
Yes.
And realness somehow.
And the thing with you kind of like keeping going until I'm about to collapse in a sleepy heap.
A sleepy heap.
I'm a nice guy, you know, really.
Yeah. No, he's nice. You know, when he talks about the rawness, it was basically until I'd be so tired that I would crack right through my habits.
Right.
Because, you know, I've sung for a long time, and I've done a whole lot of different styles and different things, and, mm-hmm. and it's easy for me to... I taught myself how to sing in what is pretty much like a scientific way, and that's how I teach my students. And, you know, and so I like to balance the heart with quite a lot of technique
so
as well.
So what you're doing in Rabbit Foot then is going against all the things you teach.
Oh, yes.
Well, not against them in a horrible way, but literally crack the mould.
Yes,
and that's why I like it as well. That's why this is so significant for me musically.
Do you have to sort of mentally flick a switch inside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to suspend a whole lot of assumptions and beliefs and kind of, you know, things on which I've based my music ability for years to be able to just follow him at the drop of a hat. You know, with the drums, because he doesn't play by the rules. He's not going to do whatever he's doing for 8 bars and then change, you know.
So Jamie's pulling you out of your comfort zone.
Yep.
Where is your comfort zone, basically? I mean, are you pushing yours as well, Jamie?
Pushing mine as well, yeah, because I don't sing as, you know, like, well, I do sing now, but 2 years ago I didn't, and I never had, and I never wanted to. Mm-hmm. So that I'm out of my, just by standing here, I'm out of my comfort zone. Just by remembering a song, I feel like I'm in my comfort zone when I know it. And then... I don't want to feel comfortable doing this.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And because there's something beyond that. It's that cracking the mold. It's a bit esoteric, but I want to push through and feel that there's something kind of fresh each time we play something.
But taking the blues standards and putting the Rabbit Foot imprint on them, which you've done, how easy is it to write out of the mold? I mean, for writing numbers yourselves?
I've written... Well, actually, we've got a whole album's worth or two albums worth of fresh, new, brand new material that we'd like to do. And the thing is to not make it try and sound like anything at all. Just let it fall out of my head.
Mm-hmm. Or sound like it was 60 years, it's 50 years old and you've reworked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we want. We want people to kind of, we want that. Well, actually, I don't know if I want people to do anything apart from whatever they want to do. Yeah,
yes.
Enjoy it. But I wanted to evoke.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And the only way I can do that is to base it on real experiences of mine, and make it real for me. I suppose that's the only thing, isn't it? And for us,
it's finding the seat of the pants. That's,
I mean,
the
it's
best
a dang-
place for it.
It's a dangerous place to be. In the early days, you know, we really flew by the seat of our pants, and I think some songs like went for 25 minutes. You know, because not because we wanted to play that long, because it took us that long to find the groove.
And now, but now you do the opposite. We've had a few gigs recently where we start and we're really on it and we're really tight. We kind of, you know, we kind of rehearse and we
start feeling good about ourselves.
So he starts pushing the envelope. He starts leaving the stage. And the moment the wire comes off the guitar or something kind of goes wrong, he's like, yeah, I found it now. that's the line.
I'm happy again now.
Okay, let's push the envelope a little bit further. What are you going to do for us next?
Ooh.
Fantasy?
Fantasy blues, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantasy Blues, Rabbit Foot. If you listen to these podcasts and never watch the videos, we put videos up most times. You really should on that particular one. I'll put that one up first, I guess, because you can see the interplay between the two of you. Because if I put a screen in between the two of you, it just wouldn't work, would it?
No. No, it really wouldn't. I would have no idea what I'm doing.
but at one stage, I was trying to work out who was following whom. And basically, often you follow the drummer, but in fact, you're following him, aren't you?
I'm following him.
Yeah. I'm following her.
This is a three-piece works in a very unusual way because everyone's following the guitar player.
Right.
Well, that's what they say anyway.
The bass player follows me and I follow him.
All right.
Sometimes, that's why I change stuff, because I'm running away in fear because everyone's following me, you know.
Stop following me. So when he changes...
I don't know what I'm doing.
When he starts creating changes, I'm the one that makes it official.
Right.
So the moment I change and I go with it, then the bass player follows me and then it's official.
It's
now become a chorus. Or
there is a lot of freedom in just playing with a drummer and no other tuned instruments.
Like, yes.
You know, I can change chords whenever I like. And it becomes a bit of a habit, you know, like the bass player can be on stage sometimes. We did have one gig where we hadn't rehearsed with him and he was stood to one side of the stage going, I don't know what to do.
Because he had just suddenly decided to change to weird sharp as
right.
a key.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
Weird sharp minor. Seventh. Diminished.
So, but we'll leave you to tell us whether that was a good take or not, or whether we'll leave it for people to...
No, I think it worked well to me. Mix down beautifully, I think, yes. But it also shows... I mean, the video part of it actually shows how the interplay between the two of you actually works. You know, Is there anything which you would love to do, but Carla says, nope, I'm not doing that.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yes.
And vice versa.
And vice versa, okay. Yeah. In a perfect world...
He limitations... doesn't want to do that Lady Gaga version I've been wanting.
It's therapy now. I'm on the couch. I'm talking. You know. So, come on. In a perfect world, Carla, what would you love to do, which he won't let you do in terms of musically?
Ah. Oh, there's one song in particular, actually. She wants to do some Tina Turner. She wants to introduce a Tina Turner song.
Yeah.
I want to do Not Bush, City Limits.
Yeah, well, we should give it a try. I heard the Black Diamond Heavies did a version of it, which is wonderful, actually.
Oh, I mean, that song itself lends itself to so many different interpretations and things. So, yeah.
I think we should rock it out.
Yeah. We see, that's the edge, though, isn't it? For me, it's like, I've got a lot of original songs. I kind of like to push those across.
Yeah.
Or do we... like there'll obviously always be room for paying the respects to the songs that we love. That's why there's four covers on the on the EP.
Yes.
Not because we didn't have material, but because it felt important to give acknowledgement of where we've come from. Some people have thrown it against us, kind of, oh, yeah, you don't play enough original tunes, so we're not interested in you. It's like, oh, damn.
Your EP came out, was my copy the one which the radio people got, in other words, with no writing on it at all? Or you had to guess the set list?
Sorry about that.
I mean, if people buy the EP, they actually do get a sort of a track listing and things, do they?
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, I funded it all myself off savings that I made and have now spent.
Right.
So we got as far as buying equipment so I could engrave the discs.
Yes.
But the cover work and stuff like that, I mean, I'm selling albums in order to pay for the cover work. It's for proper DIY.
Right.
They've got track listings on the CD.
Right.
But it's only a gig to gig thing. This is kind of unofficial, almost, the EP.
Right.
You won't find it on iTunes.
See,
you'll find it.
You wouldn't. So you don't want it out there, really, as a this is what Rabbit Foot do in that respect. Are you sort of not happy with the way it reflects you? Or
I am really. Yeah. I'm really happy, actually. Yeah.
So we are.
So why haven't you put it on iTunes then?
It's just a resources thing at the moment.
Yeah.
It's just building that we don't want to be a credit card funded band, so we fund what we do with what we do.
Yeah.
So we pay for our CDs with our gigs. The CDs pay for themselves.
But I'm sure that
there
are many people who having heard this now are going to think, I'd love to get a CD of theirs, but they're not going to see you with a gig because they're in Connecticut or somewhere. You know.
Yeah.
They can get it from the website.
Okay. Yes.
They can get it from
physical
the website,
posting.
Yeah.
Then yes.
Yeah. Okay. And we were happy to send them out wherever and ever. You know, but because we are different and actually we have in the early days especially we met with a lot of resistance, so we'll be very tentative about putting it out there. We're going to wait for the response and then going a bit further and then wait for the response.
But every time you get good response from promoters, from festival organisers, DJs, it adds more to that sort of pyramid of confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's getting to know the music business as well. I was out of it for a long, long time, you know, and seeing what people want to hear and what goes down well and where, you know, where to book and, you know, and it's kind of learning process. And I think myself, I'd like to have an original statement that goes and really gets pushed out there, and I want to do it soon.
Yeah.
And that's another reason we're holding the EP back slightly.
Okay. You know,
it's not that we don't want people to hear it. It's just that I want people to hear what I think we can really sound like as an original band.
And so when can we look for an album, roughly? I don't want to pin you down to it, but spring. Yeah.
We've sorted out the engineer already, and we just got to talk about it in the new year. And we'll record it much the same way, actually. We'll just record it with much better gear.
Right.
And we'll approach the original material.
And hopefully with our tooth abscess.
Oh, God.
He had a tooth abscess.
I had a tooth abscess, and it's like, and everything broke down. It was just one of those stories, you know. We could speak about it for a day and a half of everything that went wrong.
I did read it on your blog, I think. Yes. Yeah. I read your blog, and tears were in my eyes. Yes. Talking of blogs and stuff like that. Links. Where can they go to find the links to then each of your blogs and everything else? So the main website is going to be at
rabbitfootmusic.com at the moment. We're having a website built for us at present. I don't think we can announce who's doing it yet.
No, we can't announce who's doing it, but we can announce where the domain's going to be.
Yeah, I think we can. Yeah.
It will be at rabbitfoot.co.uk.
Whoa. Okay.
Lovely. Now have our own.
So if we go there now, you'll get a 404, do you, of blank page? But
I think you probably will. Yeah.
Soon there will be something there.
But rabbitfootmusic.com will always be there.
Yeah, we'll
probably
direct.
Just direct. Yeah.
Good. And where the CD comes from?
From
the CD Bandcamp.
Bandcamp. Yeah, you can download it at Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. We want to do Bandcamp because then we get all the money.
Yeah.
Which pays for the covers, which pays for the next one.
Like, we get all the money. All 5 cents of it.
I'm not sure what... I mean, I've been out of it for so long. I look at Spotify and I think everyone's putting their music away for free. And iTunes...
Spotify is an odd one because you get, you know, pennies per million kind of stuff, you know? Yeah. iTunes, you think, bastards, taking all that money.
But they do take a lot,
But at the same time, so do the promoters and the record companies and everybody else who screw you down to a deal back in the old days. So in many respects, if that's the only person taking any cut out of it, it's not too bad. Yeah. And it's got a hell of a customer base in there, you know? And so in some respects, it's like any... I mean, when I had a manager back in the old days and I used to resent paying him 15% every month, well, what does he do for that? The fool, he just sits in an office, you know? But in fact, you know...
I had my first record deal, I had 5% of royalties. 5% of my own album. And my manager took 50% of my proceeds.
Yes.
Half.
Yeah.
That's how it was.
Which of course is why we're in the business in the first place, to make tons of money, isn't it?
I mean, I guess,
if we weren't making money, we wouldn't be here, would we, boys and girls? No.
No, absolutely not.
What are you going to finish with?
We're going to finish with Wang Dang Doodle.
Yeah. Maybe.
Tell old Maddox Slim, tell Razor Tort and Jim, tell Butcher Knife Tort and Randy, tell Fast Talk and Fanny, we gonna have a ball down at Union Hall. We gonna rip and stomp till midnight, we gonna fuss and fight till daylight, we gonna bitch away Wang Doodle all night long, all night long, all night long, all night. Thank you. Razor Torn Jay, tell Butch and I've torn an alley, I'll tell Fire.